My life I have simply spoiled. Although I have taken this rare human birth, like a miser, I have not served my Lord. I have no love for you, Radha and Krishna, and so quite purposefully I have drunk poison. From Goloka Vrindavan comes the chant of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. Such spiritual sounds vibrate only from the planets of God. How unlucky that I've no taste for nectar such as this, no love for transcendental bliss. All matter is on blazing fire, and it is always burning my heart. Though ablaze, I've no desire to escape. Though my mind and body burn, I remain bound, trying to enjoy this holocaust. Lord Chaitanya, son of Mother Shachi, formerly son of Nanda Maharaj, has now appeared with Lord Nityananda, formerly Balaram. They come chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Chanting Krishna's names, they extricate all kinds of fallen, sinful entities from the blaze of this dark age of iron. Even two drunkards, Jagai and Madhai, are delivered, purified by their songs. My Lord Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj, now you are before me with Radharani, daughter of King Vrishabhanu. O Lord, please cast your glance of mercy upon me. I, Narottam Das, now plead to you, O Lord. Now I surrender to you fully. Please do not kick Narottam Das away, for he has no shelter but your lotus feet. Glance mercifully, O Lord, glance mercifully on Narottam Das, who is pleading at your lotus feet. The essential philosophy of Sanatana Dharma, or Krishna consciousness, is so beautifully revealed in this wonderful song, which was composed by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, would often sing the songs of Narottam Das Thakur. And he was especially fond of this particular song, Hari Hari Vipale Janama Gonainu. Srila Prabhupada would often say that although Srila Narottam Das Thakur's writings were in simple Bengali language, which was accessible and understandable to even the most common people of the time, because of the deep Shastric truths that are revealed through the songs, and because of the depth of the pure love and devotion in which these realizations are emanating, these songs are none different than the original Vedic hymns. This week we celebrated the holy appearance of Sri Narottam Thakur. I would like to share with all of you this afternoon some of the jewels from the treasure of the life of this great, great Vaishnav, of whom we are all eternally indebted to. We should know that to all of these great previous acharyas, who have preserved the original message of Krishna and who have exemplified that message through their pristine and glorious lives of sacrifice and devotion. We are eternally indebted to all of them. And in fact, as our spiritual forefathers, we have a very personal, direct, intimate association with all of them. When we hear their prayers, when we sing their beautiful songs, or when we remember their life and teachings. Our philosophy is Gopi Bharatur Pada Kamala Yora Dasa 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 Anudas. Although we can have intimate reciprocation with all of these great souls as our hearts become more purified, we must always remember that our connection to them is through service, and that service is executed by being the servant of the servant of the servant. And that is why we accept our Gurudev, because he is connecting us into the service and into the lives and the teachings and into the love of all of these most magnanimous and merciful personalities. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was the avatar of Lord Krishna, appearing in this age of Kali Yuga to distribute without discrimination what no other incarnation has ever attempted to do, pure love of God to everyone. Only for the price of one's faith and willingness to accept the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. At a particular time, two great associates of the Lord who had descended from the spiritual world, Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, they were living as high ministers to the then king of Bengal, the Nawab Hussein Shah, in the capital of Ramakeli. But they were Vaishnavas, always longing for the association of the Lord and his devotees. And they couldn't bear the thought that they were wasting so much of their valuable moments simply serving materialistic people. It was a pain so deeply and excruciatingly inflicting their heart. The valuable, precious energy and the moments that God has given me are all meant for his service. And we are casting these pearls to the swine of material association. They considered themselves so abominable. But at the same time, they were being pressurized and forced with terrible threats that if they did not serve the Nawab Hussein Shah, all the Vaishnavas would be persecuted throughout the kingdom. Their mother was actually a true and great mother. She was always praying that my children will be delivered from all these materialistic duties and they could completely surrender their lives exclusively to the loving service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was the prayer of the mother. Pitajit, it is explained in Bhagavatam that the duty of mother or father is to make sure the child never takes birth again, but develops love of Krishna in this life. That is the perfection of parenthood. Not lots of education, lots of money, lots of misery, lots of disease and death. That is not what we are meant to give our children. We are meant to give them love of God by our words and by our examples. So she told Rupa and Sanatan that you should You should write a letter to Krishna, who has appeared as Lord Chaitanya. And you should ask him what to do in your position. They wrote to him repeatedly. But Lord Chaitanya, who was in the sannyas order of life, like many sannyasis, just didn't write back. But after repeated attempts, finally they got one letter, which is one verse, that just as a woman who is married but loves a man other than her husband, serves her husband very carefully so that she is not detected, but in her mind she is always thinking of her real beloved. That's all he wrote. And Rupa and Sanatan could understand that they should just await Krishna's mercy and they should continue on in this way. Anyways, Lord Chaitanya was on his way to Vrindavan, and as he was traveling, millions of people were traveling behind him. Because wherever he was going, he was having beautiful kirtan with his arms raised, chanting the holy names. His kirtan and his graceful dancing was so attractive that whoever came in contact with him would be immersed in love of Krishna and would never want to give up his association. People were just leaving their homes, leaving their jobs, leaving their everything just to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They never wanted to be separated from him. And all together, he would induce them to chant the holy name. He traveled to Ramakeli, and there in the middle of the night, in secrecy, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, who were then named the Birkash and Shakar Malik, they came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and with the greatest humility, with straw between their teeth, they fell at his lotus feet and surrendered their lives. And Lord Chaitanya told them, go to Vrindavan. Sanatan Goswami warned Lord Chaitanya that he should return to Jagannath Puri, because going to Vrindavan with so many people is not appropriate. So each night in Ramakeli, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leading wonderful kirtans, and just hundreds and thousands, millions of people, can you imagine, were joining the beautiful kirtan. With tumultuous roar, they were feeling the entire atmosphere in all directions with the sweet sound of the holy name. It was during this visit that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu faced toward the direction of the village of Kheturi. And there, with a loud voice and tears in his eyes, his body trembling in ecstatic love, he began to call out the name, Narottam, Narottam! Narottam, Narottam! Narottam, Narottam! And he was enraptured in such transformations of love that his devotees were struck with wonder. They could understand that soon a great personality named Narottam would be born in that village. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the next morning, he bathed in the river Padma. And when he bathed in the river, his own prema, his own love for Krishna, he deposited in that river. In fact, the presiding deity, the goddess of the river Padma, came forward to offer her prayers and obeisances to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he told her that when my eternal associate and devotee, Narottam, comes to bathe in your waters, you deliver to him this pure prema that I am depositing with you. She asked, how will I know who is this Narottam? He said, just as when I have come in your waters, you have overflooded with love of God, similarly the same thing will take place when he bathes in your waters. Then he turned to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is none other than Balaram himself, who has come to assist the Lord in his pastimes. He said, Nityananda Prabhu, you are the original spiritual master. You are the one who bring an aspiring devotee to the lotus feet by which they can achieve love of Krishna. At the proper time in his life, you bring Narottam to take bath in this river. It was just about at the same time that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from this world that the child was born in Keturi Gram. He was born on the full moon at the end of the month of Magh. And he exhibited such divine celestial qualities. Everyone who saw them, his beautiful features, would be struck with wonder and just become completely affectionate toward him. Such an attractive personality. When it was time for the ceremony of giving him the first grains, an astrologer came and explained that this little boy, according to my calculations and according to the features that he is manifesting, he will be the greatest of men. He will be such a saint, such a devotee, that he will deliver the world. Therefore, we give him the name Narottam, the ultimate supreme, not supreme. Narottam means the greatest personality. When they went to give him his first grains of rice, he very, very adamantly refused to touch it. And you know, in Bengal, this ceremony of giving first grains is a very, very important celebration. Generally, the whole village, all the relatives, everyone comes. And all the crowds were very much worried and disappointed. He would not eat the grains. When they would try to force it in his mouth, he would just push it away and keep his mouth closed tight. But there was a sadhu in the audience, and he said, give him these grains. This rice is Mahaprasad of Lord Krishna. And he gave them a container, and little Narottam, gladly, with great pleasure, he ate the entire bowl of rice. Sri Narottam Das Thakur Ki! And when his parents and everyone saw this, they could understand that he truly is a great devotee of the Lord who has descended. And they made a vow that we will never give him anything but Radha Krishna's Mahaprasad. Narottam was born of the Kayasta family, which in Bengal are considered Shudras, but they are oftentimes of royalty. His father was a king. His name was Krishnananda Dutt, and his mother's name was Narayani, and he was the only son. Therefore, he was meant to become the prince of all the wealth and all the opulence of the kingdom. But from his earliest childhood, he showed absolutely no interest for enjoying anything of this world. He only loved to hear the beautiful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, when he went to school, he was such an incredible student that he learned all the subjects so effortlessly and so perfectly. But he really showed no interest. At almost every possible moment, he was in the association of one very old sadhu. His name was Krishna Das Pandit. And this Krishna Das Pandit had previously had the association of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. So with great love and devotion, he would constantly narrate the Adi Lila, Madhya Lila, and Antya Lila of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And Narottam, in rapt attention, would love to hear these stories. There was nothing else in his life that gave him any pleasure or meaning than hearing the glories of Mahaprabhu and his associates. And when he would hear the narrations of the various devotees of the Lord, like Nityananda Prabhu and Gadadhar Pandit and Advaita Charya, Haridas Thakur, Shuklambar Brahmachari, Gangadas Pandit, Murari Gupta, Jagadananda Damodar Pandit, he would just become so ecstatic in separation, wanting to meet these great souls. And then he heard the wonderful story of the birth of Srinivas Acharya and what type of love of God he exhibited. And he knew that this person is still living. And he would cry out, when will that day be when I can have the association of Srinivas? When will that day be? He was always longing for the association of the devotees and longing to hear the glories of the Lord. On one occasion, actually his parents, they were becoming very worried that this son of ours, he's always hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. We should get him married very fast, because once we get him married, then he'll be bound up. And then he will carry on the family dynasty, and he will become the next king. His father was thinking, I'm getting old. And he will give us great pleasure. But Narottam had no interest. He would spend his whole day just chanting the holy names. And praying to the Lord to please give him the association of his devotees. So one night, as Narottam was sleeping, Nityananda Prabhu appeared to him in a dream. And he told him, Narottam, tomorrow, first thing in the morning, you go to the river Padma and you take your bath. And there, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu will give pure prema to you. So Narottam, in the dream, fell at the feet of Nityananda Prabhu. And the next morning he went to the river Padma. And there when he entered the waters, the river began to overflow. And then, to the great amazement of Sri Narottam, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his beautiful, splendid golden form, appeared before him. And with great affection, Sri Gaurasundar embraced him. And as he embraced him, he invoked prema bhakti, his own prema bhakti, into the heart of Sri Narottam Das. When Narottam came out of the waters, he was a different person in the sense that he was so enraptured in ecstatic love that he just sat on the bank of the Padma, weeping and weeping and weeping in separation of that beautiful form of Lord Chaitanya that he had just seen. And another miraculous thing took place. Narottam had a dark complexion, but after being embraced by Lord Gauranga, the complexion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu covered his body, and he became beautiful like molten gold. His parents, Narayani and Krishnananda Dutt, they were looking everywhere for him. They didn't know, where is our son? Throughout the entire day, they were very much in anxiety. But then they were told that we have seen him. He's weeping, he's crying on the bank of the river. So they ran to the river, and there they saw that their little Narottam now had a wonderful, effulgent, golden complexion. And his limbs were trembling in ecstatic love of Krishna. And he had no desire to even return home. He told his mother and father, I want to go to Navadvip. I want to go to Jagannath Puri. I want to go to those places where the Lord of my life has performed his pastimes. I want to go to Vrindavan. So upon seeing his disinterest to worldly affairs, his father appointed guards to constantly watch him to make sure he would not escape. And here Narottam was living in a beautiful palace, but for him it was nothing more than a prison. For a person who understands the science of the Absolute Truth, we know that this entire world, even the most wonderful, beautiful, opulent places, are all prisons where we are bound by the shackles of material desire and attachment and the repetition of birth and death. So Narottam, he was always praying for deliverance from his materialistic environment. And he would weep, he would cry throughout the day, just wanting to associate with the Lord and his devotees. How valuable, how precious is any opportunity we have to associate with devotees. It is a supreme gift of God to any living entity. To have the opportunity to sit with the devotees, to hear the glories of the Lord, and together to have beautiful kirtan, chanting the holy names. One day, a very powerful king. Narottam's father was a local king, but a very powerful king of all the areas sent a message, because Narottam was at that time such an illustrious person and he was so famous for his devotion. This king wanted to meet him. So the parents had to consent. One version of the story is that Narottam went to the king. Another version of the story is the parents were sent by the king, or sent to the king. And Narottam, who was very clever, he convinced his mother to let him perform some chore, and during that time he escaped. And although he was a prince and he was pampered, he never saw any worldly difficulties or hardships throughout his life. He had to travel with his bare foot, without any accompaniment, through jungles and forest paths. And there was no place to eat. There was no place to sleep but the ground of the jungles. When it was discovered that Narottam had escaped, his parents sent in every direction guards and police to try to find him. It is explained that after several days of traveling, Narottam became so exhausted I'm going to go back a little. Just before Narottam escaped, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him in a dream. And he told Narottam, very soon the opportunity will come. You should go to Vrindavan. And there you should fall at the lotus feet of my servant Lokanath Goswami, and you should accept initiation from him, become his disciple. So it was in pursuance of this order that Narottam escaped. And as he was traveling, he became so tired, so exhausted, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again appeared to him in a vision. And through his mercy, he nourished him and gave him strength to continue his journey. As Narottam continued on, his father's guards found him and captured him. And Narottam, who was so pure in heart and so sweet in speech and so convinced in his resolution of what he wanted in life, he spoke to them. He said, I know that you are truly my well-wishers and friends. That is why you have come. But you must understand that the fire of devotion has been kindled in my heart. And what is the nature of this fire of devotion? Said, I have given my heart to Krishna. And there's no one else I can serve. Just as a wife, if she is chaste, if her husband dies, she wants to enter into the fire of her husband's last rites. As his body is burning, she knows that she cannot live another moment without him. So she wants to perform the sati by entering into his flames. But naturally, relatives who love her, they will say, no, please, stop, you cannot go. But she has no alternative. Because of her love, she voluntarily enters the flames. So similarly, like a chaste wife, my heart and my life is fixed on Krishna. And I must enter into the fire of renunciation to achieve him and to remain faithful to him. And because of your love, you are trying to stop me, but you cannot. You must let me proceed. It is my life and soul. And when the guards heard Narottam's sweet words, they became so impressed and so pleased that they actually gave him money to continue on his journey and gave him their blessings. Nitai Gaura Hariya! So Narottam continued on, and he arrived at Mathura. And there he went to Vishram Ghat to take his bath. And while there he met one Brahman. And this Brahman was enraptured in the feelings of separation. And Narottam inquired, what is the state of affairs in Vrindavan? And he said, you have not heard? Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Kashishwar Pandit, they have all left the planet recently. And Narottam began to weep and to cry that he was going to attain their association, but they have disappeared. As he was weeping and crying, he fell unconscious. And Rupa and Sanatana Goswami appeared to him in that state and told him that he should take shelter of Jiva Goswami and he should accept initiation from Lokanath Goswami as has been ordered by the Lord. So Narottam entered into Vrindavan and he first went to the Radha Govindaji temple. And when he saw the beautiful form of Radha Govinda, he fell to the ground, crying in ecstatic love. And meanwhile, the residents of Vrindavan, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they could understand that this must be the Narottam that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would discuss. This must be the Narottam who Rupa and Sanatan told us would be coming. So they went to the Radha Damodar temple and they told Jiva Goswami, who was then with Srinivas Acharya, and they both went running to the Radha Govindaji temple. And when they saw Narottam, with great ecstatic love, they lifted him up and embraced him. And Jiva Goswami took Narottam first to Radha Damodar temple to see the beautiful form of Radha Damodar. Then he took him to the Radha Vinod Mandir, where Lokanath Goswami was sitting in his little bhajan kutir, constantly immersed in remembering the pastimes of the Lord and chanting his holy names.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Very recent to this wonderful meeting between Narottam and Lokanath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared before Lokanath Goswami and told him that you must accept Narottam as your disciple when he comes. So Narottam Das sat with Lokanath Goswami, and Lokanath Goswami had prasad, his own deity's prasad that he offered. He prepared with his own feelings of bhakti. And he said, you kindly take prasad with me today. And as they were sitting, Narottam said, how can I take prasad with you? You are meant to be my spiritual master, my guru, my lord, and my life. I should be serving you. I should not be eating with you. In fact, it is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself who has told me to accept initiation from you. And Narottam Das Thakur explained the whole story of his life to Lokanath. And Lokanath said that if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally appeared to you and embraced you, then what do you need a guru like me for? You have a direct relationship with the Lord. And Narottam Das says, no. The Lord's causeless mercy, he has appeared. Although I am most sinful, I am most wretched, I am most materialistic and fallen. And his great mercy is he has given me the opportunity to surrender to you, to become purified and to serve him. But Lokanath Das Goswami, he had already made a vow that he would never accept any disciples. And after Rupa and Sanatan Goswami's left the planet, he was always weeping and crying in separation from him. He had no inclination to accept such a responsibility. But Narottam was so sincere that he told him, according to the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta of Rupa and Sanatan, one should first chant with a strict vow the holy names of Krishna. Before one is eligible to approach Guru for initiation. So you chant for 1 year. Narottam Thakur, every day he would spend his day chanting the holy names. Every day he would go to Lokanath Goswami's discourses, and with rapt attention and such submissive love, he would hear the words of his Gurudev. And every day he would attempt to render any possible service he could do. But Lokanath Goswami lived such an extraordinary, simple, and austere life that there was just nothing anyone could do for him. And he wouldn't accept service from anyone. So what Narottam Das Thakur would do is at night, he would go to the place just a distance from the river Jamuna, where Lokanath would every day perform his duties of responding to nature, passing of the stool and urine. And Narottam, with his own hands, he would get on his knees and he would very carefully and meticulously clean that place where his Gurudev would evacuate. And every morning when Lokanath would go to perform these duties, he would notice that it was so absolutely clean. Who could possibly be doing this? And this was happening every day. And there was also nice little water set there for him to use. So one night, Lokanath secretly hid behind trees, watching to see who is performing this activity in the midst of the night. And there he saw that beautiful golden form of Narottam very carefully cleaning his place. And Lokanath came out of the bushes and he said, "Narottam, why? Why are you doing this? You are a prince. You are meant to be the king. You are supposed to be living in a beautiful palace." You are from a place where you have so many servants. By chanting his name, we don't require anything else. We'll use whatever we have, and we'll try to get more to use it in his service, but all we need is Harinam. Krishna will provide everything else. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Thank you very much.
Tulya kalas chara chara janma mrityor yatha paschat pranayam aduna pipo.
O King, both you and us, your advisors, wives, and ministers, as well as everything moving and not moving throughout the entire cosmos at this time, are in a temporary situation. Before our birth, this situation did not exist, and after our death, it will exist no longer. Therefore, our situation now is temporary, although it is not false.
Bhutaya bhutani bhutesha srijajyat prabhanti cha atma sristaya asvat antaya anapeksho vibhalavat.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master and proprietor of everything, is certainly not interested in the temporary cosmic manifestation. Nonetheless, just as a boy at the beach creates something in which he is not interested, the Lord, keeping everything under his control, causes creation, maintenance, and annihilation. He creates by engaging a father to beget a son. He maintains by engaging a government or king to see to the public's welfare, and annihilates the agents for killing, such as snakes. The agents for creation, maintenance, and annihilation have no independent potency, but because of the spell of the illusory energy, one thinks himself the creator, maintainer, and annihilator. These verses are being spoken by Sri Narada Muni. He is speaking to Maharaj Chitraketu. Chitraketu Maharaj was a great king, and he was receiving the darshan of these great personalities for so many years, but he never really heard what they were saying. There is a difference between hearing with our mind and our intelligence and receiving the word of God in our hearts. Until our heart is suitably situated, like a properly plowed agricultural field, the seed of God's words will not be able to take root. As you know, if you put a seed on stony ground, there is no place for the roots to set. So what happens is the seeds become like sprouts, and gradually they are burned up by the sun. Similarly, a heart that is not properly situated to be submissive, to hear the word of God. The word of God enters our heart, but there's no place for it to put its roots. Therefore, our determination is soon to wane, and therefore we will not pursue on the spiritual path. When difficulties, when tribulations come our way, we lose our faith because we have no roots. So similarly, Maharaj Chitraketu, although he was a very pious man and a very religious man, whenever the sadhus would come to visit him, he would offer them a nice sitting place. He would give them nice drinking water. He would wash their feet with his own hands. He would drink that water. He would give them all gifts. He would ask them to speak. He would hear from them. And on a certain level, he was following what they were saying. But their words never really took root in his heart to give realization and detachment. So because of this, although he was such a religious man and such a good person in every respect, he was very much materially attached. He could not overcome his material attachments, despite all of his good qualities. And what was his greatest attachment? That he wanted a son. Because he felt that as a king, no one would carry on the family dynasty unless there is a son that is born. So his whole world was like a dreary void, bereft of a child. He had several wives, and he tried on many occasions. But man proposes, God disposes. With all of his wealth, with all of his influence, with all of his power and his armies, he could not bring one child into this world. So he was miserable. So he was thinking, what is the use of this big, big royal castle that I'm living in, and all these beautiful wives? The one thing that I want, I cannot have. And I can't buy that with all my money. And with all my armies and powers, I cannot get one son. This is the limitation of worldly prestige and money. The things we really want, they cannot give us. And the things that we want to really protect, they cannot save. So when Narada, or Angira Muni came in, and while you were in such a state of lamentation, I want some. All right. He gave him some special prasad. He said, you give this to your favorite wife, you will have some. But you think that will make you happy? Yes, definitely. No, definitely not. You can name your son Harshashoka, which means he will give you happiness, but then he will give you distress. Because everything in this world that brings happiness also brings distress. If you want to enjoy this world, that means you want to suffer. Because there's no difference. Happiness and distress are interchangeable. He said, little distress, I don't mind. Maybe you'll cry and keep me up at night. Maybe you'll be naughty. It's all right. I can tolerate it. So, a son was born. It was very blissful. He was so happy. He was jubilant. There was big celebrations and festivities throughout the entire kingdom. Everyone was so proud that the king has a beautiful son. There is a prince that has been born. And he was just waiting the day. From the very sight of this infant child, he was just waiting the day when he would be old enough so he could turn over the crown and the throne and everything to him. That was going to be the happiest day of his life. So everyone was very happy. But, you know, in this material world, the nature of this place is, to the degree one person is happy, one person becomes unhappy. It's like recently there was elections in the United States, and the Democratic Party won. They were very blissful in their mundane sense. But to the degree they were blissful, the Republican Party was totally suffering. Huh? Clinton was very happy, smiling, and tears of agony were rolling down the face of Mr. Bush. Huh? So this is the nature of the world. To win means somebody has to lose. To succeed means somebody else has to fail. To find pleasure means somebody has to suffer pain. Huh? So although King Chichiketu and his wives, they were so blissful, the other wives were so envious. The more you succeed in this world, the more people become envious of you. In any field, the more accomplished and respectability you get, the more the opposite also is there, envy. The more people want to tear you down. They could not find. Ultimately, Srinivas told them, you go ahead and preach. I will stay here and search for the books. So Narottam and Shyamananda, as they were traveling together from village to village, they were so much in the rapture of separation from these books of the Goswamis, that the only solace was that each day Narottam would spend hours and hours discussing the contents of those books to Shyamananda, who would listen with great pleasure. Finally, they came to the kingdom of Narottam. By this time, many years had passed. Narottam's father and uncle had died, and his cousin, Santosh Dutt, was made the king. And when Narottam came into his village, Keturi, he was welcomed with such reception of love and hospitality. In fact, he began to preach, and the whole kingdom became his disciples, led by his own cousin, the king, Santosh. After some time, Shyamananda left for his village to see his guru, Hridoy Chaitanya, in Ambika Kalna. And Narottam decided to visit Navadvip and Jagannath Puri, places he had never been. When he entered into the outskirts of Navadvip, he had a wonderful vision. in this vision, he saw all the residents of Navadvip chanting and dancing and joyful. But then at the next moment, he saw everyone was weeping and it was like a ghost town. And he began to cry. And at that time, one Brahmin approached him. And the Brahmin told him that ever since Nimai Pandit has left Navadvip to take sannyas, every tree, every creeper, every blade of grass, and every person is simply weeping in separation. The life of Navadvip, Nimai Pandit has left. And then Suklambar Brahmachari, who was one of the most beloved associates of Lord Chaitanya, happened to meet with Narottam, and they embraced, and Suklambar brought Narottam to Lord Chaitanya's birthplace and brought him to all the holy places of Navadvip. He went to Santipur and met Achyutananda. He went to Srikanda and met Narahari Sarakar. He was going to all the holy places of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. He went to Jagannath Puri. He met Gopinath Acharya and other great devotees of the Lord. Then he went to Jajigram to meet with Srinivasa Acharya, his beloved friend. By that time, Srinivasa Acharya had found all the books, had made the whole kingdom into his disciples, and he was traveling around Bengal also preaching. Then Narottam returned to Kethuri. And in Kethuri Gram, he decided... Actually, what happened? When he reached Kethuri, there was a letter from Lokanath Goswami, his guru, which explained, now you have many disciples. For their benefit, you should install deities in the temple. So Narottam discovered many beautiful deities, several of Radha and Krishna. And one day, a Brahmin approached Narottam and told him that the place where the food and the rice was to be cooked, no one can go into it because there was a terrible venomous serpent. So Narottam, he said, I am not afraid of serpents. So he went in that place, and when he went in, he found beautiful self-manifesting deities, one of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and one of his consort Vishnu Priya. So Narottam decided that the auspicious day for installation should be the appearance day of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaur Purnima. At that time, for many years, on Gaur Purnima, just a few devotees would come together and they would have kirtan and remember the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. But Narottam Das decided that we should establish that every year should be a grand festival where all devotees from all places come together. So he sent out invitations to all the Vaishnavas everywhere that come for the wonderful Gaur Purnima festival in Kethuri Gram. And Santosh Dutt, who was the king, he said, I will bear all expenses. And in those several months after they sent out the invitations, he built a beautiful temple with a wonderful, wonderful kirtan hall and wonderful kitchen premises and wonderful places for all the thousands of devotees to stay. And stocks of food grains and bhoga. And then the devotees started coming. The presiding personality was Janavi Devi, the consort of Lord Nityananda. When she arrived, Narottam and Srinivas, they garlanded her and touched her feet and worshipped her by offering the aarti and various forms of puja. And as each devotee was coming to Kethuri Gram, Narottam Das Thakur was personally, whoever they were, whatever their level of Krishna consciousness, he would bow to them. He would personally garland them and serve them and arrange premises for them. However advanced we become in Krishna consciousness, we should know that we never become too advanced to humbly, menially serve the Vaishnavas. That is a real devotee. After everyone was situated, Narottam began the festival by having wonderful kirtan. With his sweet, loving voice, in harmony with the murdangas and karatals, Narottam began to lead them in the chanting of the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
In this way, they would have wonderful kirtan. And then, after the kirtan, everyone would sit and the devotees would begin to narrate the beautiful pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they would begin to discuss the wonderful philosophy of the six Goswamis. And then again, they would all come together for kirtan, chanting the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram.
You see, this is the eternal formula that the devotees come together to enjoy. Since time immemorial, the great acharyas have taught us this process. This is the meaning of sadhu satsang. First you have kirtan, then you speak philosophy and the pastimes of the Lord, then again you have kirtan, and then you take prasad. You'll notice every festival, every occasion, every celebration, every ritual, whatever comes up, we have the same way of observing it. Kirtan, Krishna Katha, Kirtan, and Prasad. It is the eternal process. On the day of Gaur Purnima, devotees started the kirtan, and everyone was gracefully dancing and chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And right when the kirtan came to its peak, its climax, where everyone was in such ecstasy, right at that point, Narottam began to sing. And Narottam Das Thakur's voice was so sweet, so imbued with love, that anyone who would hear his voice, their hearts would just melt in ecstasy. And as Narottam began to sing the beautiful glories of the Lord, tears were streaming from devotees' eyes as they all began to chant and dance very gracefully. The kirtan went on. And as it was going on, we should know that Krishna is none different than his name. The devotees were so submerged in utterly taking shelter of the beautiful sound of his holy name. As the murdangas and the karatals and the conch shells were all resounding, and there was a tumultuous roaring echo of all the devotees crying out the holy names. Right before everyone's eyes, the eternal associates of the Lord, Sri Chaitanya, who had already departed from the world, just miraculously appeared. Nityananda Prabhu appeared. Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar Pandit, Srivas Thakur, Haridas Thakur, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they were all dancing to the kirtan of the holy names. Upon seeing these personalities, everyone was just overwhelmed with ecstatic love of Krishna and dancing with more and more enthusiasm. They all were crying out at the top of their lungs,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
In the midst of those most nectarine spectacle, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, appeared with his arms raised, crying out the holy name. Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu began to dance together. And all the devotees were dancing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki. As everyone was dancing together, try to understand what sort of feelings these devotees must have been experiencing. Here Janavi Devi, who was suffering separation from her beloved husband, Nityananda Prabhu, for so many long years, she was seeing her husband again, dancing with the devotees. And Achyutananda, the son of Advaita, was seeing his father dancing and chanting again. And Sri Nidhi and the other brothers of Srivas Thakur were also seeing their Lord dance, their brother, their life and soul, again in their midst, chanting and dancing. And all the devotees who were cursing themselves for not having ever seen the beautiful form of Lord Chaitanya, their ultimate desire was fulfilled. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing amongst them. No one wanted to stop this kirtan. This kirtan went on for hours and hours and hours. And it just seemed like it would never end. But of course, it had to end. When the kirtan subsided, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of his eternal associates disappeared from the vision of all the devotees, they engraved in the core of their hearts what they have seen, and they meditated on that, and that gave them life for the rest of their days in this world. And then the installation of all the deities took place, presided by Janavi Devi and Srinivasa Acharya. And then Janavi Devi herself, on the next morning, she personally cooked prasad for everyone. Also, there were so many gurus and spiritual masters there, but she was considered the supreme most. All the other gurus and all the other devotees were surrendered to her and willing to accept her authority. But yet, she spent the morning cutting the vegetables and mixing the spices and stirring the pots and frying the grains. She had a whole team of Brahmins, Vaishnavas, and she was leading them in cooking for all the thousands and thousands of devotees. And after it was all prepared, with her own hands she served all the Vaishnavas. This was the humility and the devotion of Janavi Devi. Although in the most exalted position, she only wanted to serve the devotees. This wonderful festival went on for 3 days, and it became a very historical incident in Gaudiya Vaishnavas' lives, because it was the first Gaur Purnima festival that had ever been celebrated. And it is described that by that time, because Lord Chaitanya had different associates and devotees and second generation devotees in different parts, many of them had different interpretations. It was Janavi Devi who established the consistent philosophy that all Gaudiya Vaishnavas should preach. And to this day, what we have received from our spiritual master is coming in that line. Some of the devotees decided to stay for many weeks. And two, one's name was Ramchandra Kaviraj and the other was named Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. They were very, very high, learned Brahmins. And Ganga Narayan Chakravarti accepted initiation from Narottam Das Thakur, who by caste was a Shudra. And because of this, certain smart Brahmins, ritualistic, materialistic Brahmins, became very envious. They considered that Narottam Das was ruining Brahminical culture. That what right did he, a born Sudra, have to initiate first-class Brahmins? So they were spreading all sorts of propaganda against Narottam. They even set threats to his life. They threatened to kill him unless he stopped his preaching. But Narottam, fearless, depending on the mercy of the Lord, continued, because it was the order of his guru and Gauranga to preach the message. At one point, these Brahmins approached the king and told him that he is ruining the Vedic culture. So he wrote a letter to Narottam chastising him. You cannot do this. And Narottam wrote back with all sorts of scriptural evidence that when one is a Vaishnav, initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, one is better than a Brahmin. And one can initiate anyone. Sat karma nipano vipro mantra tantra visharada avaishnava guru nasyat vaishnavasva pacho guru. The Shastras say that if one is born, what to speak of Shudra, even in an untouchable family of Chandalas, dog-eaters, if he is a devotee of the Lord, sincerely chanting the holy names of Krishna, he can become guru for the whole universe. But if a Brahman, endowed with all the qualifications of a Brahman, if he is not a devotee, and he is not taking shelter of the holy name, he cannot deliver himself, what to speak of anyone else. And Narottam told the king that if you are not convinced, you bring all your Brahmins and we will have a debate. But he wrote with such humility that the king's heart melted. And he told the Brahmins that if you're not satisfied, we should go there and you should debate this man. So they decided, yes, we will debate. So all the big, high-class, smarter Brahmins, so educated and scholarly as they were, they all made a procession together, along with the king, headed by the most learned of all the Brahmins, Rupa Narayan. Rupa Narayan was at one time before defeated by Jiva Goswami in Vrindavan. So he didn't like the Gaudiya Vaishnavas very much. So when the news came that a royal procession of pandits were coming to Kheturi Gram, the disciples of Narottam made a plan. Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and Ramchandra Kaviraj, they dressed themselves up as simple peasants. And they set up little shops, just a little carpet, like not even a carpet, a little mat. And one of them had betel nuts, and the other was a potter. He just had some little pottery. And they also had some water. So they were sitting on the side of the road, like very simple, poor, uneducated peasants. And when the procession of the king came, they all wanted water. And they wanted to, you know, they needed the pots to get the water. And they also wanted to chew some betel nuts. So they went to these two potters, or these two simple merchants, and they began to discuss amongst themselves in perfect Sanskrit language. And these pandits were struck with wonder. How do you simple merchants know such Sanskrit? He said, of course we know Sanskrit, because we're disciples of Narottam Das. Only Brahmins are supposed to know Sanskrit. And this Narottam, he's a Sudra. How can you... We know about this Narottam. Oh? What scriptural evidence do you have against this Narottam? They started citing scriptures which such eloquent Sanskrit poetry, they completely defeated and annihilated all the pundits. And the king was laughing. And he said to Rupa Narayan, the chief of all the pundits, you better go in and help these. So he went in to try to defeat their arguments. And the potter and the betel nut seller completely devastated all of his arguments with pristine scriptural evidence. And the king looked at all the pundits and said, if this is what the disciples of Narottam can do to you, do you really want to have a debate with Narottam Das Thakur? If you want my opinion, we should all go and surrender to his lotus feet. So all the pundits went to Narottam Das and they surrendered to his lotus feet and accepted him as their guru. Sri Narottam Das Thakur ki! In this way, Narottam Das Thakur, he lived and he preached so widely. So many tens and thousands of people were taking guidance and instructions from him. And he wrote beautiful, beautiful books of prayers and songs. One was called the Prarthana. Another was the Prema Bhakti Chandrika. And almost each day, Vaishnavas all over the world, including in this temple, we sing the wonderful songs of Narottam Das Thakur. He was considered to be the most perfect manifestation of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. He was a jewel amongst men. His humility, his devotional qualities, his charm, his scholarship. He was the perfect example of a pure servant of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And to this day, over 400 years later, we are still chanting his glories, chanting his songs, and utterly inspired by his life. Shri Narottam Das Thakur ki.